Blog Talk Radio.
All right, there we go. Welcome, everybody. Usually we have that already going on in the background. That's all right. We're glad to have you with us here today. Thank you for coming out and being a part of this wonderful program, which we call 1 Hour of Faith and Communion. We're glad to have you here with us today. It is Sunday, 16 July, 2023. My, 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 where did this year go already? It's really interesting to believe that and see that we're already halfway through summer. Mm-hmm. Not really, but, you know, here, that's what everybody says. Watch out. We're already halfway through summer. And when you get to that point, it's like, wow, help us, Jesus. I really would like to have him come in and sit and be part of this. Think about this. If you go back and look at everything that God has done with you and me and through you and me and for you and me throughout this last 3 years, all of a sudden, we look and say, my goodness, look what God has done. And, you know, the psalmist says, do not despise the day of small beginnings. And in all actuality, this isn't much too much of a small beginning. We went right around the world automatically. But I think that you can look at it and say, even though it wasn't a small beginning, it was a beginning, and here we are being faithful to this, saying, Lord, take us to the next step, the next level, the next anointing, the next group of people, so that we can have and do and be everything that God wants us to have, do, and be. That's what we're doing here every day. You've come upon a program today that is called 1 Hour of Faith and Communion. Now, can't put all that in the title, because then you can't make any kind of declaration about what your subject is going to be. So we have it as 1HOF, 1 Hour of Faith. All of our programs have an abbreviation like that. RWR is Rebuilding the Walls of Righteousness, where we spend an hour and a half every day praying for God. No, praying and declaring what God has already said. America shall be saved. And what we've learned in the last little bit from Robert Hunt's declaration, when he put the cross in the sand, he said, and America will preach the gospel to the whole world. And that's the assignment that God gave America. Dr. Hilton Sutton, one of the greatest leaders ever in the kingdom, the prophetic scriptures, not just end time book of Revelation, but on all of the prophetic scriptures of the Bible. Dr. Hilton Sutton, over and over said that America had three assignments. Number one was to preach the gospel all over the world. Number two assignment was to be a defender of Israel. And then number three, we became the force of liberty all over the world and liberated nations. And some people called us the police force of the world. People try to make a bad connotation of it. But really all we were saying is, no, all the isms, you don't get to control and destroy large masses of people because nobody says stop it.
Amen.
Now,
amen.
I've been learning this week as I've been studying the movies, The Sound of Freedom, that there's more slavery today than ever before. And the problem with it is there's not one nation that is the slave nation. And it's spread out all over the world. So you and I, as defenders of liberty, can't go after that one nation and say, stop it, because it's all over the world. And so as everything else in the kingdom right now is pointing to this fact, it points to the fact that you and I must give ourselves to freedom and liberty, which is with these words of our mouth and declaring, captives, you're set free. Bondage, you're broken. Sickness, disease, poverty, it's broken in the name of Jesus. And in our generation, really, since Jesus died, rose again, ascended, and sent us the Holy Spirit, we were actually supposed to be in this mode. Not go around the world with a big military and destroy everything.
Amen.
But you got to get revelation. You got to get information. They did their best to stop the word of God from going out across the world. Thousands of people died and gave their life so that today you and I can actually have a Bible in our hand translated into our language that we can understand and know just exactly what God said about us. And so here we are, you and I, 2023. We're standing on the shoulders. We're standing on the shoulders. We've been saying this since March 23rd, 2023. We are standing on the shoulders of our forefathers, those that's gone before us, and we are declaring, thy will be done on this earth as it is in heaven. That's what we're all about. That's what the kingdom of God is all about. Now today, by the assignment of the Holy Spirit, I'm going to talk about seed time and harvest, and I'm going to just hit it hard again and go through the Bible and just give us a very, very solid, very abundant set of verses on seed time and harvest, because that's where we're at. But let's begin with a great verse in the book of Hebrews, because when you get into seed time and harvest and you get into the foundation of the world, you got to understand what God said at the beginning, because if you don't understand what he said at the beginning, it's called the law of first mention. The first thing declared is setting in place, setting in order what everything else will run by, the law mentioned. And so we're going to go to the book of Genesis in a minute. But right now, I guess we better hold our Bibles up, right?
Great.
Did we do that yet?
We didn't do that yet, no.
I just opened this thing up and just went to preaching, didn't I?
Yep.
Well, you know, when the Word of God is on the inside of you, like it's on the inside of me, there ain't going to be too much hesitation at all. We're going to just open up the Word of God and go for it, because we know what it is that God wants us to do. Here we go. It's on the screen, right? Say this with me. Hold your Bible up and say this. Wait. Get Daddy's Bible. It's in the car, in the briefcase, so we can take it with us. Here we go. This is my Bible. I believe what God's word says. I am what Jesus says I am, because he is the great I am. The Holy Spirit of God, my resident teacher, is making his word come alive in my life tonight.
Today,
I receive the word of God and plant him as a seed in the good soil of my heart, producing a hundredfold return in my spirit, soul, and body, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen and amen. Now, just give me a second here. I think, Sister Leanne, I am going to have you read some verses, because I have all of a sudden, by the wonderful sound of my phone, been reminded I got to adjust a couple things here that wasn't adjusted. Or you're going to see me going out the door headed for the summit. So what we'll do is we'll have you, Sister Leanne, read to us Genesis chapter 1. Remember, the law of first mention. Now wait, I'm going to set it up. I'm not going to have her just read. The law of first mention. This is the very first day of mankind. Doesn't matter if you believe in creation or not. You can follow, you can wander around in that wilderness of fools out there following the people that don't believe in anything. But you can't stop those seasons. That's bigger than any man. There's a force that is bigger than any man. And you can't stop it. And as long as this earth remains, there will be seed time and harvest. Here we go, Sister Leanne is going to begin with Genesis chapter 1. I got to have the verses read because it's the foundation of everything that we are and everything that we do. And here we go, Sister Leanne.
Here we go. And I hope you can hear me over there. I can't turn my speakers on this side or we reverberate between each other. So hopefully you can hear me. And good morning, Miss Tracy McSwain. It's
Woo!
So good to see you with us. And Rebecca Smith. You're the only ones I can see at this point, though I see other people there. I don't see you. But I know you sure are here. We love you. God bless you. And we're so happy to have you with us. Here we go. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. Then God said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." Thus God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. So the evening and the morning were the second day. Then God said, "Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called sea. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth." And it was so.
Now pause. It doesn't matter. Whoops. Somebody turned my camera back on. It doesn't matter. What are you going to do to stop that grass from going? Now, I want you to get this. I want you to get, listen, this is the foundation point of all there is in all of creation. Grass out there will be as brown can be. And you step on it, and it crumbles off, and you're like, "I've just destroyed the whole lawn."
Yeah.
And the rain comes. And in 15 minutes, the grass is green. Now, we just read it. What verse was that?
I'm on 12.
12. So 11. God said, "Well, let there be grass." Why? He already saw grass inside of himself. He didn't say what he saw. Wow, it sure is void out here and there's nothing around, is there? He saw the void and spoke what he wanted. Let there be grass. Can you imagine the whole earth being populated with grass at that moment when he said, "Let there be," and there was? Let there be grass. Wait, just get it. Through the flood. Through the flood, the grass is still here. All of this grass was covered with 35,000 feet worth of water or whatever it was. And guess what? When the water receded, don't know where it went, and when the sun came out, and when the sun baked the mud, and then when the next rainstorm came across, the mud kind of washed down underneath, the grass goes, boing, and there's the grass again. Now, you got to get it, because if you don't understand that this is the very first page of the Bible, you'll go off with these stupid, weird, knuckle-headed scientific people who say, I have 13 doctorate degrees, would you please believe me? No, because you're so dumb you don't even look at the grass. I don't believe you. Was that too hard? Bill Johnson one time said, let me say that a little better. A little more kind. Why are you so stupid? Is that better? I still didn't get it, did I? Wait, why are you saying it like that, Pastor? Because if you won't look at those trees and that grass and the sun and the seasons, why would I even listen to another word that comes out of your foolish mouth? You're going to try to convince me of something based on you got 5 degrees? Degrees of what? You know what a PhD it is? It's piled higher and deeper. It is piled higher and deeper. No, I love it when you can hear a man or a woman. No matter to me, man or woman, I don't care. When you can hear one who is very extremely well studied and they get the whole picture, my goodness sakes, when they start talking, you just sit there and like, go, why? Because they don't deny grass. They don't deny rain, snow. They don't deny the seasons. Last night, this is so cool. Last night, I'm out driving my truck, got a good night, just hammering down the road, and I come by, and I'm going by my fuel stop, so I stop my get fuel, and get me a big glass of water, Dr. Pepper, you know, and I get up to the counter, and the young guy gets all done, and he's done my fuel charge and my depth, and he goes, can you tell me something? I said, yeah. He goes, what is depth?
Well, there's a good
question. I said, really? He goes, I've asked every truck driver to buy fuels, and nobody even knows what it is or what it's for.
Yeah, it's killing plant life along the freeway.
I said, well, you're not going to like the answer. He goes, no. I'm like, no. And I said, it's literally taking the fumes of the truck, running it through what would be like you trying to breathe through your own human waste, and then putting it back out through this chemical where somebody made $1 billion. He goes, that's just stupid. I said, and think about it. When they do that process, it makes the diesel engine work harder. So guess what we do? We burn more fuel. And I said, because of the fumes of the death, it's killing all the trees and the grass by the side of the road. He goes, this is just stupid. I said, young man, run for government. We'll put you in office and change it for us. He goes, if I was just smart enough. I'm like, they're a bunch of dummies anyways. You're smarter than they are. You stood right there and understood it. Anyway, I'm not against scientists. I'm against dumb scientists.
Just the dumb ones.
I'm not against education. Be as intelligent as you can be. But for crying out loud, don't become intelligent and get a degree and then wave a paper at me and stand up and tell me not to believe in the season that just went across me. Can I get off of that now?
Amen. Are you finished?
Or should we?
Rebecca's reading that.
Or should we have one more really good punch at it? No. No, see that as long as the earth remains, you stay in Genesis 1, or you don't have to. I'm going to Genesis 9. Genesis 9, that page is so important, I folded half of it over. 9:20. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord. No, it's not 9:20. It's 8:20. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord, took of every clean animal, every clean bird, offered burnt offerings on the altar. God not only gave him the ability to sustain life after he came off of the ark, he gave him an offering. Because that's how important offerings are to God. What? The Lord smelled the soothing aroma. The Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground for man's sake. Although the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, nor will I again destroy every living thing as I have done. Remember, this is when the rainbow appeared. Right?
Hallelujah.
While the earth remains, this is the law of first mention. While the earth remains, there will be seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, day and night shall not cease. As long as the earth remains. Guess what? The earth is still remaining.
It is still here.
Isn't it something that one of the greatest proponents for global warming and all of that useless philosophy is Bill Gates? Follow me. Bill Gates is the largest owner of farmland in the United States of America. Why? He must believe in seed time and harvest and silently is doing something else besides standing out there saying the whole world is burning down. Listen, don't be so ignorant that what your eye sees, you say with your mouth, that isn't what is really happening. No, just see the event, see the situation, see the human, and say, regardless of what flaps off the end of their lips, the result and action of their life is the total opposite. As long as the earth remains, listen to this, there will be seed time and harvest. I hope some of you become real passionate about what I'm teaching you right now today. We got to spread this all over the whole world. Somebody starts barking out this foolishness about global warming. Just look at them and say, you know what? You're the same group of stupid people that was talking about global freezing. Remember when we were kids?
Yeah.
It wasn't global warming. It was the ice age. It's coming back upon us. I'm 60 years old now. Guess what? We still got glaciers. We still have the Arctic. We still have the Antarctic. The penguins are still there. You know, the polar bears are still up there. Guess what? Yakety yak, flap, 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 flap. We don't believe you anymore. We don't believe you. Why? You're ignorant fools. You say there's no God and tell us to believe you because you got a paper that says I have PhD. Personal hysteria dumbness. PhD, personal hysteria dumbness. Pastor, who are you after? Bill Gates? I'm not after anybody. May they all turn to God, immediately put their money into the wisdom and the knowledge and the understanding of God, turn all of their resources into helping us save the world and not destroy it because they think we're too overpopulated. Now watch this. 9:1. God blessed Noah and his sons and said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and subdue it. Isn't that the same thing that God told Adam in the garden? We didn't even get it read because the grass got me. I was trying to get there to be fruitful, multiply, but when she said grass, it just grabbed me. All of a sudden it just hit me. That grass has been growing out there since the garden. That grass in my yard right there is over 7,000 years old.
An interesting thought, isn't it?
It's the same grass. Grass covered the whole earth when he said, let there be grass on the earth. Now watch this. Let's see. All of a sudden, let's go down. To Jonah. No, geez. Genesis. Genesis 9:7. And as for you, be fruitful, multiply, bring forth abundantly on the earth and multiply in it. Then God spoke to Moses, to Noah and his sons with him, saying, as for me, behold, I establish my covenant with you and your descendants after you, with every living creature that was with you, the birds, the cattle, every beast of the earth, of all that go out of the ark, every beast of the earth. 11. Thus I establish my covenant with you. Never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood. Neither again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth. And this is the sign of the covenant which I make between you and me and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generation. Ready? I set my rainbow in the cloud, and it shall be for the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. You know, I never thought about that. So right now, it started to rain. Oh, so you get a rainbow. Wherever they were standing, off in the distance, it began to rain. Wait a minute. Can you imagine what they felt in their heart when they saw rain? Oh, my goodness. We've just sacrificed all these animals, and we let them all off the ark, and there's the rain again.
Wow.
Because they saw a rainbow. Rainbows happen because light goes through the prism of water. I told you that and don't even have a PhD in science. I just, you know, honestly, Dr. Barclay has earned PhD. I love to listen to him begin to talk about things he's studied deep. I love it. Jesse DePlanis, my goodness, that man, highly, highly intelligent. I love to hear Brother Jesse talk. Why? Because he's got such a depth of intellectual knowledge and understanding of how the earth happens. I love it. I love it. But right now today, Holy Spirit just spoke to me and said, do you realize it was raining on this day God's talking to him? There's a rainbow. Can you imagine the fear that welled up inside of their heart when they saw that rainbow, when they saw that rain? Oh my goodness, here comes the rain again. And God said, and God spoke to him, that's the sign of my covenant. Never again will I ever destroy the earth by rain.
Amen.
Now see, all of a sudden, you and I can believe in God and believe in his ways. Why? Because we look and see that what is in actuality happening out there outside of our house. Ready? Pastor, have you got to any principles yet? It's called the law of first mention. What's in this first chapter is what is still established and happening on this earth, all over the earth. And the people who get this chapter, get it down in here, and then begin to work it out of their life out here, are the most blessed, happy, successful, prosperous people there are in the face of the earth. They change and transform people's lives all over the world. Why? Because they've done what the Creator said to do with themselves and their lives. It's a horrible set of pictures when you look at the pictures of the people that say there is no God.
Oh, my. Oh, my.
And how they ended up mangled up pieces of humanity by the end of their life because they continually shook their fist at the Almighty.
Their life is just a
disaster. It's horrendous pictures. Abraham Lincoln said so on the internet. Can I have more coffee, though? I think if I have more coffee, it might help me settle down. Everybody say hi to Lee Papel. My father-in-law, Lee Papel, is with us. Welcome, sir. Good to have you. I'm now going back to Genesis chapter 1 because we got the grass in the ground. Let's get the rest of creation happening. You ready? 11. God said, let the earth bring forth grass and the herb that yields seed and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind whose seed is in itself on the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, the tree that yields fruit whose seed is in itself. And God saw that it was all good and said, woo yeah! That might be mean, but, you know, 13. The evening and the morning was the third day. Now watch this. Then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs, seasons, days, and years. And I am telling you right now, since God put the sun in the sky and the moon in the sky, days, nights, seasons, and years has happened since then. And there ain't a man on this earth that can change that process, no matter how intelligent, how rich, how amazing, how absolutely wonderful they have become in their own mind of delusion. Can't stop those seasons. So guess what? You got to go back to the most original book there is on the face of the earth and find out about the seasons, times, days, nights, and all the rest. Keep reading. Don't get hung up in this because it's trying to be real easy to get hung up in this. Look at this. 15. Let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light on the earth. And it was so. God made two great lights. Now, you may not be of the persuasion that we have two lights. I am in Genesis chapter 1. Just come on by, you'll figure it out. No, I'm in 15 and 16. The greater light to rule the day. What is that called? The sun. The lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth. Listen, I just found out this week one of the best places on the United States to watch the stars is Montana. Because there's no light. I mean, I'm so serious about this. I'm about to take my wife, Dad here, Lee, and go back to Montana and say, wait, let's see this thing with no lights. Because the sky is filled with stars at night if the lights that we created are no longer there. Whether or not you believe it, whether or not you think about it, the moon is a light. The moon is a light. God set the moon in the sky as a light. Pastor, do you really think the moon is the light? Well, I'll be like Brother Jesse, the planet. We got two choices. One, you believe in God, and one, you believe in man. And I'm going to choose God. Let God be true, and every ignorant man a liar who don't know God.
Amen. Me too.
Bless you, Rebecca. Sister Tracy McSwain still with us?
She is, and Audrey is with us.
I've totally lost track of everything here. I just got to preaching. It's so good. I'm loving it. Isn't that something? I cannot see their comments. Sorry. I know you guys are there, and I'm not stopping. God set them in the firmament of heaven to give light on earth. Let's keep reading. I got to get through this chapter. To rule over the day, 18. Rule over the day, over the night, to divide the light from the darkness. God saw it. It was good. The evening and the morning were the fourth day. God said, let the waters abound with an abundance of living creatures. Let the birds fly above the earth, across the face of the earth, of the heavens. Wait a minute. When you see a sparrow, that sparrow's and he's 7,000 years old. The sparrow. Listen, we have 50 sparrows that come and hang out on our porch out here all winter long. Wait, those sparrows have ancestors that are 7,000 years old. Why? Because God said, let it bring forth birds. And it did. And God saw it was good. 22. God blessed them, saying, be fruitful, multiply, fill the waters in the sea. Let the birds multiply on the earth. I know we've killed the whales. I know we've killed, you know, we've overkilled some of the species. But isn't it interesting in the midst of all that, that God keeps working this thing and there's still tuna and there's still lobsters and there's still crab and there's still shrimp and there's still cod and there's still haddock and there's still, and you just keep naming the stills. In the midst of all of us eating as much fish as we do, it's still there. Why? Because he just said right there, God blessed them saying, be fruitful, multiply, fill the waters in the sea, and let the birds multiply on the earth. There's still ducks. There's still goose. We still hunt and eat them because it's what he said they were to do. After the fall, that's what he said they're to do. Still there. See, well, I think the greatest thing I want you to see today is the law of first mention is this chapter. From this chapter, you and I get our assignment of what we're to do on this earth. And we're about to get to us in the creation. Aren't you glad that God created us last? Of everything yeah. God created, he created the whole earth. And the last thing he put on the earth was man. And all he said to us is tend and keep it. He gave us a completely prospering, moving, functioning environment that all he had to do is just take care of it. Just be a good steward. Be a good gardener. That's all he had to do. They were clothed in the glory of God. What is the glory of God? His righteousness, his truth. What's the foundations of his throne? That's the glory of God. They were clothed in the glory and the righteousness of God. They knew no sin. All they had to do was just be in the garden and crush that snake's head when it showed up. Adam could have been fruitful and multiply and crushed that snake's head. He was standing there when Eve started listening to it. That's another message. Really, you got to get them signs that you hold up that says, that's the wrong message.
The rabbit trail.
I've not preached off of the focus of what God gave me today. The sooner you can look at that TV and say, would you shut up your stupid mouth to the people that's on there talking? And then just walk up and lay hands right on the screen. Just follow me. Listen to me. Just walk up to the TV. If you're going to watch the garbage, then walk up to the TV, lay your hand on it and say, Father, in the name of Jesus, this person is extremely confused. I stand in the gap and make up the hedge for them right now that they will come to the revelation knowledge of who you are. The eyes of their understanding will be flooded with enlightenment. Amen. They'll begin to come to the understanding that says, wait a minute, I don't have to be this ignorant.
Amen.
I love the testimony from Pat Robertson. Pat Robertson's in heaven. 1 billion people will be in heaven because of Pat Robertson. 1 billion people from around the world, from all nations of the world. A descendant of Robert Hunt who put his cross in the ground in Virginia, right close to where Pat Robertson had his ministry, and or wherever he had his ministry. I think it's Virginia, wasn't it? I don't know. Anyway. Pat Robertson did the interview with the man who was the first male member of the National Organization of Women. And he was in charge of like 25 abortion clinics. And he was a homosexual. And God gave this pastor in the local community where the man lived the desire to go talk to him. He's like, I don't want to talk to that man. He's wicked. God said, no, go talk to him. He went and talked to him and invited him over for supper. And he's like, oh, my Lord Jesus, there's an interesting thing. And he got over there and the man's like, why'd you invite me over here for supper? We just love you and we want you to know God loves you. And the man gave his heart to Jesus because of that love and shut down all of those and said, you guys can put them back up, but I'm shutting them down. And today is one of the greatest anti-abortion voices of our nation. Why? Because somebody pointed their finger at a screen and said, you're not going to say that garbage any longer. All of us point our finger at the screen and say, it is time for you to stop lying. Jesus, bring them to their senses. We can turn this world around in a matter of a month.
Yeah. Amen.
Rather than us getting our finger out and say, it's all the Democrats. It's all the Republicans. No. In the name of Jesus, may the revelation knowledge of God come upon you. I have a feeling that this 1 hour of faith is not going to be enough time. Okay. Let's skip to 26 so we can get more done today. Then God said, the rest of the world is finished, and now his prized possession, Adam, is getting ready to show up. In the world. Am I seeing my screen? Just give me a second. There we go. Watch this. Pastor, do you hate people? I don't hate anybody. I hate sin. And I hate people who control and enslave other people. I hate that. I hate slavery. All right. So if you're a slave owner or you're trying to enslave all of us, Microsoft, by making us buy your next thing, because you're going to switch something and make us all buy a new computer, there'll be a day of reckoning for you. I'm not the judge, but you don't want that day. You want to change before that happens. 26. God said, let us make man in our image. Now, when you come to study the Bible with me, always have your pen that works. I recommend the Zebra, the F301 0.7 mm BP. Why? So you can circle, highlight, underline, draw lines, make notes in your Bible. Look at this. God said, let us, capitalize, make man in our image, ours capitalized, according to our likeness, that's capitalized. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Us, our, and our. This is God saying, let us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, make man in our image. So you and I are made just like our Father. Now, there ain't nobody that has a hard time understanding that. If you come to my house and you look at Leanne Papel and Lee Papel, there's no misunderstanding. She is his daughter. There's no misunderstanding. They look alike. What are they even acting like? What? She was made in his image. And then Pat, that's your mom, right? Got the right name? She's to tell me. Pat. Pat was their mother. And so Lee and Pat came together and created Leanne and Steve. They both looked like their dad and their mom, and they talked like them. Why? They were made in their image, and that's what God said about Adam. Most scholars believe that if you put Jesus, he was the creator, and Adam right next to each other, they looked exactly alike. They were spirit image of each other. Look what God said man was to do. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, the cattle on the earth, every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. God created it. Man is the steward of it. We're made in his image. We're not creators, but we are caretakers, gardeners, stewards of this great earth. Well, Pastor, that means we got to pay attention to what we're doing to the earth. Well, we most certainly do. Yeah. Stop building batteries that we got to stick in the ground somewhere and pollute our water for the next 150, 200, 1,000 years so you can have an electric car that ain't going to work up here anyways. When you got a renewable resource that is always going to be there and all of those parts are munchable. You know what that means? Recyclable. You can put them in the big muncher and then take that and put it in a big kiln. And you're going to heat it up. The dross will be pulled off the top. And you can create more cars and more steel and more everything.
Punctable.
So you're against electric cars, huh, Pastor?
Yes.
I'm against the slavery of children under 13 years old working in the mines that harvest the material, the element that makes a battery. I'm extremely against this.
It's so dangerous for them.
These are children under the age of 13 working in these mines. Oh, that's a conspiracy theory. No, just take your conspiracy theory, spend about 10 grand, go to Africa and see. You don't have to wonder. It's right in front of your eyes. I know some of you believe Elon Musk more than you believe God. Ask him. Because he's the first one I heard say it. Hold that sign up that says we can get off this now.
Yeah. Moving on.
Say it. I'm made in God's image.
I'm made in God's image.
I'm made in God's image. I speak the truth, tell the truth, and bring the truth, and love the truth, and we're going to walk in the truth. God said to man, be fruitful, multiply, subdue the earth, take dominion. It's yours. We don't create earth, but we use our words like our father did, bring this earth into subjection. That's why the most important power you ever have in your life is the words that come off your lips or your tongue. Can I get an amen from anybody?
Amen.
Hey, wait, there you go. God made Leanne in Lee's image. Wait, give me a second. Do it again. God made Leanne in Lee's image. This is what you and I are today. God took this whole earth and said to man, it's up to you, steward it. That's why there's horrendous places on this earth where man with the most wicked, vicious heart controls that area. And thank God for death, because death gets rid of the wicked. And if you keep going in your perversity, you will become reprobate and have no opportunity to get back with God. Turn now while it's still have a chance. Because here's the revelation. That same God that we're reading about right here, who stood in front of Adam, God came down from heaven and walked with Adam in the garden in the cool of the evening. You know God's saying, Adam, there's a snake coming. Be careful. There's a snake. There's a serpent coming, Adam. Be careful. You know God was saying that to him. Be fruitful, multiply, subdue this whole earth. Be careful. Why? Because as soon as Adam saw the serpent in the tree, he should have grabbed that serpent and flung it, and it had gone clear out somewhere around the world. Get out of my garden. Adam should have looked at Eve and said, Eve, take your hand off the apple. Do not do that. Adam was standing there when it happened. See, God put inside of you and me the ability to steward this whole earth. And he gave us words. How did Adam take care of the garden? With his mouth. God brought all the animals to him. Can you imagine? One day, here comes the elephant. And Adam looked up and said, well, that's an elephant. Huh? Wait, what about the day when the platypus showed up? Right? And Adam says, well, that, look at that little guy. That is a platypus. Wait, Adam didn't have any education. Where did he get it? From the God who lived inside of him. Thank God for education. I'm honestly not against education, but if you'll just read this book and listen to what he tells you, you'll become one of the most intelligent people that anybody ever knows. Why? Because you listen to the Creator who created you and now has chosen to come and live on the inside of you. People say all the time, Pastor, you have so much wisdom. No, I have wisdom living in me. His name is Jesus. I have truth living in me. His name is Jesus. I have power living in me. It's the Holy Spirit of God. I am made in the image of my Father. This is what God looks like. Except I don't think he's got this bare spot. When you hear about God, he has long flowing hair. I don't know why we all want short hair. I'm working on it. I'm trying to be in his image. I got to tell you a really funny story. When my son was just a little guy, probably, I don't know, 6, maybe 7, took him to get his haircut one day. And he said to the lady, I want my hair to look like my dad's. Every child wants to be like their dad. She gets all done and she says to my son, so how's it look, Josh? He said, you didn't do it right. he's 7 or whatever. She goes, I didn't. He goes, no, because there's still hair here and my dad doesn't have any there. And the hair lady's like, now that's really good right there. Do you really want me to cut it off? I'm like, it's all right, Josh. You look enough like me. It's okay. Dad doesn't have it because the hair fell out. Now, go with me back to Genesis 8. The floods now happened. Noah and his family are standing outside. They've just created the altar. And they gave them an offering back to the Father. Okay? And they're standing outside of the ark, probably because they got to build a house and everything. So the ark was their house. So they're probably still living in the ark. Now, I don't have a book, and I most certainly didn't talk to Noah to find out if this is true. This is just how I see it. But they're standing outside. The offering is finished. And God has just spoken and said, as long as the earth remains, there'll be seed time and harvest, day and night, cold and heat, winter and summer, and it won't cease. And it begins to rain. And they're like, oh my goodness, here it comes again. That had to have been a horrible day for Noah and Mrs. Noah and Ham, Shem, and Japheth and Mrs. Ham, Shem, and Japheth when they stood on that ark and listened to the screams of people who are now going to be taken out because the flood was coming on the earth. Noah said, we told them they could have got on this ark with us, but they didn't. And God put that rainbow in the sky and said to them, I will never again destroy man by a flood. Never. And then he said to them, be fruitful, multiply, subdue the earth, take dominion, and recondition it. Everywhere you go where it needs to be brought alive, bring life again. How is Adam going to show up in a place where the flood wiped it out and then just stand there with his hoe and his shovel and an axe, whatever he had? He didn't have a home light. Or a husk of iron to straighten it out, you know, and bring it back into the thing that God had. He had to use his mouth. He had to do what God did. He was made in God's image. And it was transferred all the way from Adam to Noah. Methuselah lived 1,000 years. Adam lived 1,000 years. All those people were living 1,000 years. So the history of creation came all the way to Noah. And when they came off that ark, God said, now you go do what Adam and Eve did. Isn't it something that right after Noah comes off the ark, the very first book of the Bible is written? And it's Job. Job is the first book of the Bible. If you've never read Job, to understand and see what Job knew about God right after the flood, I encourage you, I'll put the links right in here to the videos we have on our Read the Word about the book of Job. It is absolutely amazing what Job understood within the matter of a couple hundred years of Noah coming off the ark. Why? Because God said to them, I will show up in a dream, in a vision of the night, and I will manifest myself to you, and I will show you, and I will turn your foot from going astray. I'll keep you from going to the pit, and I will seal the instruction of your life on the inside of you. But see, you know what has to happen? You have to believe in God for that to come to pass. Job didn't have a seminary. Job didn't have a Bible college. Job didn't have Harvard, Yale, Princeton, or any of those. But when you read the book of Job, besides for the first two pages that talk about the devil fighting him, when you read the rest of the book of Job as a word from God, those people understood the whole process of the whole earth, mining copper and gold and heavy metals, had pencils and ink. It's all in the book of Job. Some of you are like, that ain't in the book of Job. I'll put the links in this deal so you can go do the Read the Words. And I encourage you, listen to it. Because when we were reading that last year, we just sat here just stunned at the thought that this is in the matter of a couple hundred years after the flood, the first book of the Bible was actually written. And it was Job. What was they doing? Be fruitful, multiply, subdue the earth, take dominion, and replenish it. You and I right now, what are we supposed to be doing on this earth? Go with me to one more verse and we'll be done. Romans chapter 8. Look at this verse. Man, God bless Dr. Bill Winston for showing this verse to us. He was the first one that broke through my religiosity mode and got this verse on the inside of me. Thank God that he had a big club and was just beating the fire out of the religious demon so that I could finally get this revelation because it's powerful. Romans 8:18. Nope, 19. 19, and it goes down through 24. For the earnest expectation of the creation, that's that stuff, eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. Notice that sons is not capitalized. It's not talking about Jesus. That's talking about you and me. Creation. Trees, flowers, animals, seasons. Excuse me. Creation eagerly is waiting for the revealings of the Son of God. For creation was subjected to futility because Adam sinned. Not willingly, but because of him who subjected in host. The creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. You and I are supposed to be fruitful, multiply, subdue the earth. Seasons, times, days, years, land, earth, minerals under the ground. Take advantage of the sun. Harvest the wind. I don't know about this harvesting the wind deal, but hold your sign up real quick. That's not the message. See, creation is looking for you and me to take control of it. Pastor, how much control do I get? You get whatever it is that God wrote in your book when you was created of what you're supposed to get done on this earth. You might have a garden in your backyard. You might have 500 acres of garden that you're supposed to be putting out for the earth. Some people, ready for this, like Bill Gates, is probably supposed to have hundreds of thousands of acres that they use to feed people without destroying them.
Amen.
Amen. You go around this place where we live, these farms, are most of them are 5,000 acre farms. And they'll have 3,000 acres of it in wheat or barley or oats or canola. Or what's the other one they got? The lavender? Is that what it is? Lavender?
Mm-hmm.
I went by one of them fields yesterday. And you could, I was real close. It was wild. They built the road into the oil well, and they cut it out of this field. So when you're driving out, you're like eye level with these little plants and the little purple things. I got a picture of it. It was like, wow, look at this little purple plant. And I'm like, I don't know who the dozer guy was, but thanks, bud. That was really cool because I got some cool. That's what's supposed to be happening. I know Bangkok and some of them places got 25, 50 million people living in a city stacked 300 stories in the air. I know that's there, but look at how much land there is on this earth where there's nobody in it at all. I mean, it's not just America. We got all kinds of land here that people could inhabit. Africa, Australia, Russia. There's all kinds of land where people could be. We just got them all stacked up in the city. That's all. And if we were, and when Jesus comes back to reign in 1,000 years, that's what he's going to do. You're gonna like, no. Everybody spread out. Let's cover the whole earth with people. Everybody has a garden. Yes, you have to eat your tomatoes. Jesus, I don't want to eat tomatoes. You eat your tomatoes, boy, and your broccoli. But then you won't be eating meat. Well, I'll be eating. Because that's when the lion will lay down with the lamb. And the ox and the lion will both eat grain. That's what the Bible says. Ready? For 1,000 years, that's going to happen with you and me and Jesus on this earth. How amazingly awesome is that?
Hallelujah.
Are you looking forward to it?
Yep.
Now, Dad here, he's 85. But on this earth, he gets to be 1,085 years old if Jesus were to come today. Wait, you get a new body. We're coming back restored. I believe we're going to all come back and look 30 years old.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm buff today, but I was really buff when I was 30. Not really. I was still kind of a little scrawny dude, but I was getting there. See, God set it up right here. As long as this earth remains, seed time and harvest will not fail. As soon as you get that as the most foundation principle of your whole life is seed time and harvest, your whole mentality of life will change because every word you speak is a seed that will produce a harvest. Every action you present is a seed that's going to bring you a harvest. Do you really want that harvest? Every time you read this Bible, you're planting a seed of growing your mind and understanding, and it'll produce a harvest. Every time you close it and you stick it on a shelf and you don't ever read it, you just planted a seed of ignorance, and you will receive the harvest of that ignorance. This earth is designed, simply. God said, be fruitful, multiply, subdue the earth, and take dominion. It's the greatest principle of faith there is, the law of first mention. Don't worry, it's just falling off, but we got it. Now, we're going to make a confession, and then we're going to receive communion. And I did pretty good today at getting established 1 hour of faith and prayer. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, with all the zeal and fire inside of me, and probably a little extra, I have shared your word today the law of first mention, what you said at the beginning. May the revelation of this, go down deep inside of us. May we see and know and understand who you are and know our place on this earth, that we can function in it. In Jesus' mighty name. Lift your hands up and just let me bless you now. In the mighty name of Jesus, I bless you. I bless you to have wisdom and knowledge and understanding in a dream, in a vision, in a revelation of the night. If there's someone else in the house with you, reach out and put your hand on their shoulder and touch them. Just in the mighty name of Jesus, revelation come to you. Understanding come to you. The wisdom of Almighty God be yours in Jesus' mighty name. Flow, revelation, flow. Not from my hands. From their desire to know you and open up this book and see who you are in the mighty name of Jesus. The eyes of your understanding flooded with enlightenment, that you may know what is the hope of your calling and that what is the riches of the inheritance of the saints and the exceeding greatness of his power toward you because you believe. Unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all you can ask or think, according to the power that is working in you, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 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 And amen. Give God a high five. Hallelujah. Now, we're going to receive communion together. Just in case you missed it while we're setting up for communion here, I challenge you. I beg you. I'm not a beggar. I command you. Don't know if I can do that. Go see the movie, The Sound of Freedom. Go see it. I'm going to keep putting up the interviews of Tim Ballard. I saw one yesterday. If you do YouTube, go search the interview up of Tim Ballard and Candace Owens. And then get you some Kleenex. Because while you're watching this interview, the Spirit of Almighty God is going to come upon you. And you're going to be sitting there going, this is one of the greatest men of God I'm ever going to meet. Wait, he's a Navy SEAL. He's a CIA agent. He's a man that knows how to take it to the child molesters and the prison masters, and he does. If only I could be like Tim. And Tim says, no, don't be like me. Please, sir, you pray, and I'll go. Let me go. No, I want to go get my hands on a couple of them. That's all right. Thank God that there are very highly trained men who are willing, able, and understand how to do violence on our behalf to stop the wicked perverts that are trying to destroy the people of our day. You go watch this. You watch that video, Candace Owens and Tim Ballard, and then find a way to go watch the movie and send your family out there to it also, in Jesus' mighty name. We're going to go do it here in just a couple minutes, as soon as we're done. What time is it?
4:30.
We better get a move on. I don't know why you preach so long. I give you the mic and then you just take over. Did you know she was the preacher, Dad?
No, what?
She's a preacher.
Mm-hmm.
1 Corinthians chapter 11, let's receive communion together. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you. Let's go back here. That's Corinthians. Let's go to Luke 22:14 through 23. Luke 22, 14 through 23. This is actually Jesus having the last Passover that ever was necessary on the earth. When the hour had come, he sat down with the 12 apostles with him. Do you have another chair for Dan? Are you? All right, you're fine? All right, that's good. I was getting ready to stand up and let you have mine. You don't need it? No, that's all right. If you want to stand, you can stand. I just being a good son.
You are.
Yeah, see, when he sits in that seat, I can't see him. That's all right. I'll move this screen aside like that. I'll move the screen aside so I can look right to the edge and still see him. Here we go. He sat down with the disciples and he said, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. This is the last Passover that was ever necessary. I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and he gave thanks and said, take this and divide it amongst yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. Nazarite mouth. And he took the bread, and he gave thanks, and he broke it, and he gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. He also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. And then he said, my betrayer's hand is at the table. And Judas got up and left so Jesus could have the Passover without a liar and a deceiver and without the betrayer being in the midst. The devil had to go in order to have communion. Now, you and I are going to do what should be done in every communion service. Because in every service, there's going to be a bunch of people who want to take communion, but they don't feel right with God. So the very natural, normal thing to do is just lead them into prayer of salvation. Right? There's nothing hard about that. But what do? We try to make communion only last 2 minutes because we don't want communion to take up too much time in the service. And what have we done? We've lost the opportunity to bring people into the kingdom and teach them who God is in the matter of about 10 minutes. So stick with me. I'm going to share the communion prayer. It'll be right on your screen. You're going to be able to see it and read it right out loud. You don't get to heaven by saying words. You get to heaven by saying words you mean. Did I say that in a good enough manner? There's a whole lot of people that say, if you just say these words, you'll be right with God. Well, saying the words don't make you right with God. Saying the words and meaning them in the depths of your life. This isn't a short little prayer, but by the training of God, I know what to have you pray so that God and his presence comes in your life. Pray this with me. Is it on your screen? I thank you, God, my Father, that in the fullness of time, you sent the fullness of Jesus to redeem my life by his blood from destruction. If you point where you're at, it might help. Then thank you, Jesus, for giving yourself for me so that I can be made complete in you every day. According to John 3:16, I choose to believe you are the only begotten Son of God, and you rose again on the third day. Reach out your hands and say, I receive you, Jesus, into my life. Hold on. We got to get caught up. I receive all of your grace and mercy, all of your love and righteousness, filling every part of my life with all the fullness of God. Thank you. None of my sins are imputed against me. I am now a new creation in Christ Jesus. Fill me and baptize me with the Holy Spirit and fire so that I live in power, understand the word of God, pray in my heavenly language, and live a successful life as a believer every day. Surround me with godly people who will help me know how to walk with you every day. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.
Amen. Now, you can see on the screen it says, pause and shout. Woo! Oh, my goodness. The wrong thing. Here's the instructions on salvation. What just happened to you? God Almighty just came in because you invited him. When God comes in, sin has to go out. And he gives you his righteousness. We've just taught on it for 3 days. 2 days. For the 17th time since we started. Doesn't matter. You have now got Jesus, God, and the Holy Spirit living in you if you truly meant that prayer that we just put in front of you. And now, because they're living in you, you now have the ability to know and find God in a way you never did before. All of a sudden, all of this will begin to make sense to you. Why? The author and finisher of the faith just came living in. Where you had fear, you now have faith. Where you had sin, you now have righteousness. Where you had darkness, you now have light. I just love it. I can help you change in 5 minutes in a manner that you just can't even hardly even believe it just happened to you. And it just happened. Now, what do I do now, Pastor? You've got to have a community of faith. That's what we're called, the community of faith. It might be us. I hope it is. But if it isn't, it doesn't matter to me. You follow the leadership of God Almighty in your life. Somebody said to me once, Pastor, how can I know what church to go to? And I said to them, do you drive through your community and have a drawing on the inside of you to go in a church building? And they're like, yeah, I actually have. Well, then go in there. But remember, one of two things is going to happen. You're either going to be impressed or you're going to say, I'm never going back there again. Both of those things can be something that God shows you on that day. But what you're going to find is a place that causes this book to come alive. Not religiosity, not events, not pizza parties, not little cute little churchy things we do. No, the word of God comes alive. And you might have to look a while to find that in some communities. I know there's communities that don't have a good church. Till then, stick with us. Click like, subscribe, hit the bell. Every time we go live, get this. If you can be here with us while we're live, it's wonderful. If you can't, hook this thing up and go look it up later. Why? Because if you're driving down the road, if you're taking a shower, if you're getting up in the morning and say, I need to study something with somebody, when you study this word with us, this word is going to come alive to you in a way that it never has before. And that's the process in Jesus' mighty name. You ready? Let's receive communion. It's your elements. And we're going to bless them. We're going to bless them. And then we're going to pray the prayer. Whoops. Hold on. I actually had somebody tell me the other day, Pastor, the prayer you pray is long, so I just take the bread and juice right at the beginning and then pray the prayer. That's not how we do it, but that's all right. You do it. God will bless you because you're taking it. Ready? Pray this. Jesus, as you instructed your disciples, I receive this element today. This bread representing your broken body and this juice representing your blood poured out for me. I do this in remembrance of you and all you did for me. Wait, let's just do it. Let's receive the bread. Thank you for your broken body. Thank you that you broke your body open, Jesus, so all of us had the ability to get inside of it and become the body of Christ. Thank you. And you called it joy. For the joy that was set before you, you did this for us. And now we lift up the cup of blessing. Let's receive this together. We receive your blood shed. Hey, which is interesting. We just did something different. Now, let's speak the word. Jesus, you were wounded for my transgression. You were bruised for my iniquity. The chastisement for my peace is on you, Lord. And by your stripes, I am healed. In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body, in my mind, in my will, and in my emotion, there is nothing missing, nothing broken. All trauma is removed from my life now. Every joint supplying in my body from your broken body, Jesus, in the body of Christ in my community and around the world, wherever you send me or this prayer, I receive the bread, your body broken now, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I bless the fruit of the vine in obedience to your word, in remembrance of your bloodshed, to provide redemptions and righteousness for me. Now watch it. I'm getting ready by the leadership of the Holy Spirit to show you an initial understanding of what the blood of Jesus just did inside of you. Ready? By your blood, Jesus, I have been redeemed. By your blood, Jesus, I have reconciliation with God my Father. By your blood, Jesus, every sin has been placed in remission in my life. I am a new creation, recreated in Christ Jesus.
Old things have passed away, and now all things are made new.
By the blood of Jesus, I come boldly to the throne room of grace, where I find mercy, grace, and help for my assignment, my dominion mandate on this earth. By your blood, Jesus, and by the word of my testimony, the accuser of the brethren is cast down forever, and there is no condemnation in my life. By your blood, Jesus, every plague must pass over and cannot be on me or my family. By your blood, Jesus, my conscience is purged. My robes are made white, and I will always be the glorious church without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish. When you come for me, I receive the fruit of the vine now, in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
You know, we always sing a song when we get done. Wouldn't it be awesome if we could take all of these words we just said and turn that into a song? Let's not say it that way. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you give me or one of us the music for a song.
That would be awesome.
How awesome is that? Well, Sister Rebecca, God bless you, ma'am. Good to have you with us today.
Oh,
we're going to sing? Oh, yeah, Power in the Blood. Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you or evil to re-win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Somebody shout glory or something.
Glory.
Or something.
Or something.
All right. That's all we got for today. I've been praying because I've been studying Sister Nancy's series on victory over grief. Man, that's a powerful series. And I want everybody here to be able to enjoy it. And so I keep looking at a way I can share it with you. And so even if you don't get out and see that movie, it's called The Sound of Freedom. And when you get home, come back and begin to study Victory Over Grief with Sister Nancy. You ain't going to sit around and do nothing if you're going to be connected to me, because we got too much work to get done on this earth. That'll be a blessing to you. You can probably catch an afternoon matinee wherever you are. No, like, I'm real serious with you. Get out and go see this movie and support these people, because your money doesn't go to support some big movie theater, some studio somewhere. It goes to support Navy SEALs out there on the street taking kids out of the hands of their wicked captors, and they're doing it in 30-some nations and 22 different states of America.
Yeah.
And they do this all by the free will offering of people coming and giving to them their 501c3. And to support Angel Films, yes, because they were willing to grab a hold of it and put it out there in Jesus' mighty name. Till we see you again tomorrow morning, right here, for Rebuilding the Walls of Righteousness, 8 a.m. Central and 9 a.m. Eastern. Yes, ma'am. All right. You show up, something's going to happen.
Yeah.
Till we see you again, this is what we have to say. Remember this.
We love you.
We love you.
And
God
loves
you.
And Jesus is Lord.
See you soon. God bless you, Blog Talk Radio. Love you guys. Anything we can do to help you in God Almighty, if it's in our power, you get in touch with us, and we will help you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen.